welcome back to Compliments to the Chef. I'm your host, Nancy.
And I'm your host, Bits.
And for those keeping track at home, it is 10 p.m.
9 p.m. if you're nasty in Central.
If you're nasty in Chicago.
In Chicago, greetings from Hot Dog City.
greetings from the new hometown Vatican. Of the Pope.
Yeah. Let me hear you say amen. Just kidding.
Dude, are they going to turn Wrigley Field into St. Peter's?
That's what I've heard.
The arms of St. Peter's Basilica is actually just this, the grandstand at Wrigley Field.
They're going to pick it up with one of those huge, just like machine claws and just like pick up the entire Vatican City and just plop it down right on top.
Isn't ours now. Is that not the whole plot of Despicable Me 1?
Art imitates life. Yeah, well, it is a crazy time to be here. I will say that, like, I just landed, like, an hour ago. Wherever I'm staying is, like, very busy right now. I think it's where all the corporate people stay. Because you can tell, like, there are a bunch of, like, people that are, like, hanging out after hours that are, like, kind of probably want to go home. But they can't help it because they're, like, at some work thing.
It's a corporate happy hour.
It's a corporate vibe. can I get an amen? Can I get
amen.
A stonks? Okay. Well, Nancy,
how many amens are we going to give this episode?
Oh.
Predict right now, because we're going to keep this bit going. I can already feel it. So we need to take bets.
Yeah. This episode make me want to say tabernac. if we're going biblical and like church with it. We gotta do a moose bouche. We gotta talk about this episode.
No. Okay, but there are things that we need to talk about before we talk about the episode. I'm so sorry. Okay, so I promised, because I did a little oopsie with the Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, you spent like 10 minutes recapping it, and then you go, and I was wrong. That was wrong.
Everything I just said.
Okay, here's your second try.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure I did my filters properly this time. Ahem. With $0, we have Anya, Bailey, and Kat. I'm surprised that Bailey's there, but here we are. With $5,000, we have Mimi, Paula, and Zubair. With $10,000, we have Henry, Schwei, and Vinny. With $15,000, we have Corwin and Katiana. And with $20,000, we have Cesar, Massimo, Lana, and Tris. Oh, excuse me. With $20,000, we have Cesar and Massimo. And with $25,000, we have Lana and Tristan.
Damn.
Okay, Lana and Tristan.
That's may or may not have been why Lana messaged us and said, hey, think you got the count wrong.
Because sorry, Lana.
She's out here earning.
She's like, I'm pretty sure I don't have $0 in
we're
the
literally,
bank.
They're cooking and we're cooking the books. And not in a good way.
And not in a way that benefits anyone talented.
Well, good for us. Good for money.
Good for money. And by the way, for those wondering, that is as of episode 10. So the episode that you just finished watching, we included the $10,000 that Cesar won in this episode as part of that count.
Excellent.
Okay, Bits. Can I get an amen for correct numbers?
Can I get an amen.
So let's begin.
Okay, Nancy, a moose bouche reaction to this app.
A moose reaction. I feel like sitting here with my microphone like this, I want to sing.
Okay, a moose bouche is an excellent thing for this episode, which was very French coded.
Yes. So
that's great. So what's your moose bouche then?
Okay, so my moose bouche was... Honestly, the thing that we need to talk about the most are the changing table settings at Jen's table.
I was like, is this below deck?
Like, Bugsy, where are you? My gosh. I was so distracted by all of the scenery changes this episode. First, we have the kitchen being turned into the dépanneur. Then we had this beautiful tablescape, rotating tablescape.
Rotato.
My amuse-bouche is JP Connolly, you dirty little bastard. That was the best scene work you've ever done in the Top Chef kitchen.
We should 100% acknowledge, like, we don't actually know for a fact that he did that work, but we're just going to use that name as a stand-in. But whoever did,
well,
100%.
We're assuming he did. He does the scenery. He does the
set.
Yeah,
but I don't know that he does, like, that, like, set, like, the, like, literal set design per episode. He does, like, well, he definitely probably did the day printer.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, the
okay.
tablescape?
Yeah, maybe not. You're right. We need to find out who does the Top Chef yeah. tablescapes.
I think they got them. Somebody from Below Deck, one of the chief stews.
Oh, you think Aisha went in there and did
it? Oh, my guys, we're going to do all the seasons.
Oh, my God. I love
oh my
Top
God,
Chef.
I love Montreal. Oh, I love winter. Yeah. Oh,
my Can God. I get an amen for the Aisha impersonation?
You may.
Amen.
Please
okay.
rise.
It's, what was your amuse-bouche?
This episode was kind of sleepy to me.
Oh, okay.
This episode was a little sleepy. I was like, everybody was kind of, I don't know, off it, like a mm-hmm. little off kilter. And it okay. felt like everybody, and I don't know if it's because it was the first episode in like 1,000 episodes that Tristan wasn't on the top.
Yeah.
Nay was on the bottom. And maybe that just like brought the curve down. I don't know. It felt like it felt a little sleepy.
Well, let's dive into it then
yeah.
because I don't know that I totally agree, but I think what I am picking up on in your feelings about the episode is mm-hmm. sort of a subpar performance from a lot of them.
Yeah. Yes.
Which we don't expect because like we are officially at the point in the season where the cast is stacked.
Yes. It's that. And I think maybe because we didn't leave the Top Chef kitchen, maybe added to that feeling of inertia.
Good point.
The table was changing, but the location was not.
Save it for Judgy Table.
Okay, pin in it.
Okay, so let's talk about our quick fire, quick cash, quick a loozle, quick a doozle challenge.
Yes, so the chefs are here. Where else would you want them? And we get a really fun re-entry of Cesar into the kitchen. Mm-hmm. That was fun. I'm curious, like, how much time actually had passed, like, whether it was, like, a single night.
I think it's 24 hours.
Yeah, so fun, reunited, and it feels so good. And, yeah, the kitchen has been entirely refashioned to resemble a dépanneur or, like, a French, Canadian bodega. And we meet the guest judge this week, Punky Johnson, comedian, mm-hmm. former SNL member. I really like Punky Johnson.
I love Punky Johnson.
She was a fun inclusion.
Yes.
And seemed to have like actually pretty apt and credible feedback on the dishes.
Yeah. Oh, so, totally. So
cool.
Here's where my point about not agreeing with you about this being a sleepy episode. Really, this is the crux of my argument.
Yeah.
This quickfire rocked. No knives,
yeah.
ingredients in French, weird, like, soundstage. Like,
yes, yes, yes.
This was the type of Top Chef challenge we love. Like, the no knives on its own, I'm done. Like,
yeah.
I'm super satisfied with this challenge.
Yeah.
And then to have it all be sort of, like, prepackaged stuff that they couldn't really identify, I thought that was super fun. And... yeah, like this.
And they can only use electrical equipment.
Yes, yes,
yes.
That
felt kind of like, what? Because Punky could only do that when she was like,
yeah, in her dressing room. Like, all she had was an air fryer.
That felt a little bit tacked on, but it was still fun, you know. I wish they would have just taken the angle of, like, you have to make a, like, a meal, like a night out, a meal after a night out.
Oh, I'm going to be honest. I disagree. Like, I think this was a conceptually perfect challenge. I really liked it.
I just didn't get the, like, I liked, it kind of had three different things. It was like, you can't use knives. You can only use electrical. And you have to shop in this, like, French. It just felt, I don't know. You could do each of those individually and it would have been, like, a cohesive story.
Yeah,
but
I liked them all together. Sometimes I just like a fast and loose, silly
slop
one.
Slop it on. Just
do
slop
a silly
it
one.
On. Yeah. And silly it was.
And silly it was. This to me harkened back to the iconic challenge with Richard Blaze on the New York City Staten Island ferry.
I love that one. Like, it's definitely a top five.
Yeah, like that to me.
Batshit one.
And he used that weird like army frozen food, like freeze-dried food. Right. So I was hoping that we'd get a Richard Blaze moment, but I think that when you're in the Top Chef kitchen, maybe that idea doesn't totally cross your mind.
I do think that like Cesar kind of got close to that.
Yeah.
There was a lot of like shitty food that was upcycled. But yeah, I think, let's see.
I have a question for you.
Yeesh.
Do you have an air fryer?
I do. We have one up at the cabin and it's too small to do much with. So yes, but I don't use it.
So you are in the rare category of air fryer owner who doesn't make it their personality.
Yeah, no, I've used it one time.
Okay, well then never mind. I have nothing to roast you for. I was really excited.
You have nothing to air fry me for?
Oh, can I get an amen for Bits's pun?
Amen. Okay. I actually don't know what to – you're asking me for an amen, and yet it feels unnatural for me to say amen back.
So what happens when – is there going to be a moment in this podcast where you decline an amen? Can I get an amen? No.
I should have declined it with this one, but now I love
well, you can, okay,
it.
Okay, we each get one decline on the okay. amen.
I love that.
Cool. Love that. Let's talk about the food that people made in this episode. So in this quick fire, we have Cesar going first with his cheddar popcorn grits, goat cheese, apple bacon, and celery leaf condiment. This to me was Cesar in his element.
Yeah, it was. It was.
Doing something weird.
I liked it too because it's like, no, this one was great. I completely agree. He like manipulated something, did something with, was able to manipulate something in a way that you would not expect it. Mm-hmm. And it was cheeky and it was fun and I loved it. So there you go.
It perfectly fit the challenge. You know what I'm thinking about this challenge? Sorry, we're going to continue talking about the chefs, but the way that Tom just finagles time on boats through this show, I think that Kristen finagles junk food on this show.
Yeah, there is a lot.
There's a lot of junk food. And we know from watching BTS and talking to her stylist and friend of the pod, Charlotte Rose Coleman, that Kristen has a real junk food bent to her.
Yeah. Well, it's probably also really nice to stock. I mean, it's easy, you know, it's all non-perishable stuff. But, well, I mean, a lot, that's not true. But yes, apt observation. Okay, back to the food. We saw Lana kind of come quickly in with the waffle maker. That was her sort of like electric item of choice.
I thought that was so clever. I was actually a bit bummed when execution wise it didn't totally work out in her favor because I thought that was brilliant to make a waffle.
The
sauce she made a ham and cheese waffle with like a spicy syrup and celery salad. I thought this was conceptually brilliant, but unfortunately did not live up to its concept.
You know who's looked really good to me was Schweiz. He did like the croque monsieur.
Yeah, that was so clever. Schweiz had a great ep.
It looked nice and melty and just delicious. Yeah, he did have a strong ep.
Can I just say, good ep for our fantasy team.
Yeah, good ep for us.
We had a good time.
And this is, you're right. Like this was a really, this was a fun, you're right. This was a fun quick fire.
Can I get an amen for agreement between Bits and Nancy?
Amen. This, I also, again, we like meet, you know, Massimo kind of on a high. I love that Massimo is like bringing the energy around like the actual Canadian part of being in Canada. You know, I feel like he has to kind of hold it down. I am. At a meta level, kind of surprised, like, he's the only Canadian when you think about it. Because I feel like he's had to be, like, the informal. It's like him and Gail, essentially, are, like, explaining why we need to know things.
Yeah, I guess a few thoughts on that. One, there were two Canadians who started out in Last Chance Kitchen who one got eliminated immediately and the other one self-eliminated. So I think that's, like, where they were bringing it. And my bet, and this is me knowing absolutely nothing about the entertainment industry, is there is Top Chef Canada, which you know, we've heard is the crown jewel of Canadian television.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that because this is technically like Top Chef America, Destination Canada,
yeah,
there probably are limitations on the number of Canadian contestants they can have.
Perhaps. It's like Canadian public radio. You have to play at least like 70% Canadian artists.
Exactly. And the ads all have to be like produced in Canada. I remember that from advertising.
That's so interesting.
Yeah. But okay, let's keep going through what everyone made.
Yeah, he had pigs in a blankie. Bougie pigs in a blankie.
Wait, we got to talk about the fact that he made mozzarella.
Yeah, that is kind of crazy.
That was a crazy move from Massimo. Yeah,
that's pretty bonkers. I didn't catch that he made it. I missed that, actually.
Yeah, he, like, put a bunch of cheese in a bowl of hot water, and he was like, it's literally like bodega mozzarella.
Wow. Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, maybe we should learn how to make mozzarella. Yeah. It's pretty easy. Let's leftover like how to make mozzarella.
Okay.
Okay,
I'll
cool.
do that.
So other dishes that we had. Tristan, also using the hot dog, made a soup, bacon roasted hot dog in yucca main broth. Unfortunately for him, there was no blender. So he was not able to get the texture that he wanted out of his soup. That shot of him like bartender straining the soup
is hot dog water.
Literal hot dog water, Buster Bluth style. Was so funny.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Dude, also how much everybody, literally every person had celery on their dish.
Everyone, they were like, was celery the only green thing? And they were like, yes, it was the only fresh item in there.
God. And then, okay, just to round it out quickly, Bailey had a prune raisin mostarda and Vinny had a pâte en croûte, which was like kind of an uncrustable vibe, which I thought was very kind of like cute.
Cute. Oh, we're going to get to a cute counter later. Don't
cute
worry.
Cute counter? Mm-hmm. But one thing, so before we talk top and bottom, I really wish we would have had the foresight to count condiments because I don't know have you not noticed how many dishes now have blah condiments? Like,
go on.
Cesar made like his cheddar popcorn grits with bacon and goat cheese and something condiment. Katiana made a bunch of stuff with condiment. Like, I think it's just like the new way of saying sauce.
I haven't picked up
on
that.
Yeah, listen for it. Now I feel like you're going to hear it all the time. But there's definitely been at least 3 to 4 condiments because I remember thinking that is a really, that's going to be something we think about in a couple years and go, wow, that was crazy we did that.
That was a sign of the times.
Yeah, recession indicator. We're all eating condiments.
Okay, so on the top of this challenge, we have Cesar, we have Massimo, and we have Schwei. On the bottom, we have Tristan, Lana, Vinny, and Bailey. And on the tippity top, the winner of this challenge and $10,000 in quick cash, Cesar. Welcome back to the competition with a strong start.
Love it. Love to see it.
I was happy for him.
Good for you.
Good for you.
Good for you. Oh, my God. Okay, well, so now we move to the elimination challenge. You know, it's funny. I feel like when we were chatting with the guys on the LA Food Pod, we were talking a lot about how there wasn't a ton of Canada in this Top Chef Destination Canada. And boy, did we step in it because we've been getting a lot of Canada. I will say, so quickly on the elimination challenge, we have some guest judges come in. Antonio Park, Fisun Arkan, and Fred Moraine, who are sort of like big wig, just kind of like Montreal royalty.
Massimo's, you know what I think is funny about so, and for obvious reason, but they always have Massimo as the talking head to describe the importance of the chefs. Which makes sense. Like, he's a Canadian chef. He probably knows these people. But I feel like they should have one talking head where it's like Lana being like, oh, my God, I've been looking up to this. Like, they're just getting the Canadian guy to be excited about Canadians.
Yes. We need
some Americans being excited.
And this is, like, the case for earlier seasons, too, especially, like, before I personally knew a lot of the people. You know, when we covered season 6 and all the chefs are getting amped up about XYZ guest judge, that's how you understand the credibility and the sort of star power of the people that they get on this show to judge. So
in these unprecedented times, we need some American-Canadian diplomacy in the form of an American chef testing, getting excited about a Canadian chef judge.
Yeah, that's going to be what
those are the types of peace talks we need.
Yeah, agree.
Agree.
Agree. Okay, let's talk about the challenge.
Yeah.
So challenge now, we're going to be making a dish using sustainable produce, aka stuff that's like grown on a roof, for example, and stuff from the Top Chef pantry. And that dish should transport us to a Canadian season. Nancy, do they know that the seasons are the same everywhere else? I was just wondering because I was waiting for there to be a distinct, you know, like in New Orleans, we say like it's hurricane season or it's festival season. I kind of was, that's where I thought they were taking this. And then, you know, you just listen and they just list out the four seasons. So
winter, spring, summer, fall. All you got to do is call. James Taylor did it first, Kristen Kish. My gosh. Yeah, that one really tickled me. They're like the Canadian seasons. There was the six districts of Toronto. And I was like, got it.
Yeah.
But she just like, and it will highlight the four Canadian seasons.
Right. Yeah. And I, you know what? It made me think, I want to do a quick shout out because I have an amazing cookbook called Six Seasons. And that's kind of where my mind went with this challenge. I actually was thinking, oh, there maybe is a more interesting delineation of seasons that we're going to play with. But this book, just a plug, is incredible. It actually goes into details on, you know, spring, early summer, midsummer, late summer. It's just fascinating. And it's just very – I honestly learned just a lot about what is actually in season from recipes in that book. So
interesting.
Yeah.
You know, Vinny sort of had an interesting nod to that.
Yes, he did.
Saying, like, you know, spring in California is totally different, which I really liked. On your point, this is maybe a macro observation and perhaps I'm forgetting something, but like I'm surprised we haven't seen any first Canadian challenge, which is, I believe, the Canadian term that Americans would call Native Americans.
Yeah.
Like first Canadians are their native tribes. And I'm surprised that for the sustainability challenge, I wonder if that's
happening when we go to Alberta.
Oh, Calgary, you're so right, maybe. You're so right.
We're both right.
I'll hold my breath is what I'll say about that.
Nancy can't talk.
Very bad lung capacity. After living with bits for a few years, you try me.
Okay,
talk about the Holy Spirit.
Can I get an amen? Okay, so César, because he wins, he gets the privilege, nay, the pleasure of picking the season he wants, and he can't let anybody else have it.
That César cannot share.
That's what I've heard.
And he picks summer, which I was like, you go, Glen Coco.
You take that off the table. Honestly, like, if anybody should have gotten first dibs, I'm really glad it was him because he grows, you know, mung beans under his bed or whatever. So he clearly is close to this challenge in a deeply personal way.
Yeah. I was excited for him.
Which season would you have picked?
I have the same question written in my notes for you.
Oh, my God. Like, it's such – we are literally Barbara Walters with our investigations. It's hard-hitting.
Which season would I pick? Probably summer. It's kind of a basic
no, you can't. Pitch. César picked it.
Oh, you're so right. Okay, of the remaining three seasons, I would pick fall.
Fall. I might go spring.
That's nice.
I go spring because I love shucking peas.
I don't think I've ever shucked a pea.
Yeah, I when we're up in the Berkshires, I will go and get a bunch of peas or fava beans and just sit there for an hour and just shuck them. And it is the most relaxing, like, what do you call it? What's that show? Are they living on the prairie? Real Home on the Prairie? I'm combining
Very
Real trad Housewives. Wife
coded of you.
Real Housewives of the Prairie.
Wait, have you gotten to that episode of Salt Lake where they dress up like prairie women?
Not bits. Yet.
That is iconic.
That's Salt kind of what Lake. I thought the whole series was going to be, if I'm being completely honest, like sect wives.
No, no. Shuck you is all I have to say to that. Interesting. I like that you just zen out to pee shucking.
It's super relaxing. Mm. And so while we're on the, let's move through these seasons. So Cesar's gets summer.
Let's name all four.
Winter. Winter goes to
Massimo and who? Tristan Schwai. And Schwai. Excuse me, Schwai. How could I forget Schwai? He did so well this episode.
Tristan and Vinny get spring. Mm-hmm. Bailey and Lana get fall. And it's funny. These are one of those challenges where, like, as people are pulling the knives, I'm thinking there's no wrong.
Yeah.
There's no bad pull here.
I totally agree. I also thought that they made, like, a night, or Gail made this point at judges' table. She was like, Canadians really embrace winter. Like, their lives don't go on pause in the winter because it's winter for most of the year. And so she was like, there is a lot of variety in winter food in Canada. And so for that, I think it really supports your point. No wrong answers.
Yes. Okay. Well, so then let's move in the order of service. Okay. The winter table was giving Frozen. Okay. Elsa was giving, Elsa in the room with us?
The winter table was giving The Wall, if you ask me. Shout out to my 2014 ass reference to Game of Thrones. That was so long ago.
I don't want it.
What?
That's what Jon Snow said. He didn't want to be, I don't want it.
If I had to pick from a list of 100 iconic lines.
No, dude, that was iconic. He kept fucking saying that. He said that so much the last few seasons. I don't want it.
Iconic lines, I would say, hold the door. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
Burn them all. That was another big one. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, winter is coming. And winter is coming to the Top Chef kitchen because we've got Massimo and we've got Schwai coming to the table with two great dishes. Mm-hmm. Massimo does a salt-crusted chicken with chicken farce and cream sauce. I've never seen a salt-baked chicken. I've only seen a salt-baked fish.
So cool looking.
Right?
And like, back to back, he's going kind of sight unseen cook, you know, or like blind cook. It's ballsy. It was sick. I mean, yeah, that looked so good, so juicy. I know you're off chicken right now, but this might just bring you back to the table.
This might just bring you back to chicken. Unfortunately, Massimo, you are a genius in the kitchen. Unfortunately, this chicken's not bringing me back to the table. I'm off chicken. But I'm on to chicken of the sea salmon, according to Bits. Mm. Mm-hmm. So, they were really impressed with this technique. Interestingly, they did say that they didn't feel that it expressed the comforting nature of winter food. They said the dish felt a bit incomplete, which was commentary we got on a lot of dishes.
I don't know. I thought French people didn't like a bunch of shit on their plate. I'm sorry, Canadian people.
Like sweeping generalizations about the Canadian population.
I didn't think the Montreal, but it was all of the Montreal guests that were commentating on that. And I love that it was the suggestion was to add a potato, which I've definitely never heard. We've never, ever heard the feedback of this dish needs a potato.
Potato? Like the least interesting component you can put on a plate.
I'm going to say that now when people ask me at a restaurant how I enjoyed it. I'm just going to say, I felt like I was missing something, like a potato, something comforting.
Like that plate was also already so beige.
Right.
No knock on Massimo, but there was ne'er a vegetable in sight on that dish. And a potato is not solving that problem.
I don't think French cuisine minds beige. I think it actually loves beige.
Okay, you make a fair point.
But I'm not defending it. I'm just, you know, I'm having fun talking about this potato chicken situation. So
can I get an amen for Big Potato getting its word out on Top Chef?
What if I'm just like picturing this. What is the craziest preparation of a potato that you could put on this plate? Like literally I'm picturing a baked potato in tinfoil with like the pat of butter. Or like the green onions and like the shredded
cheese. Like all the sour cream and like bacon bits.
Just tater tots. my God. One curly fry.
Oh my God. Remember smiley fries?
Yeah, they're like mashed potatoes.
Yeah, those were gnarly. What's the craziest form of potato that could go on this plate? I just short-circuited.
Yeah. I was like, girl, you don't got to think that hard about it. I just threw out like four options. I think I honestly picked maybe the best ones.
You've got us covered.
Yeah. Moving on.
Okay. For those listening at home, that was an unedited bit of silence. A very rare thing for Bits and me. Never heard of her.
Yeah.
Silence? Never heard of her. So next up, okay, let's talk about Schwei's dish. Schwei was just really vibing this episode.
In.
He clearly had a really strong point of view of what he wanted to create, and he executed it exceptionally well. He made a vegetarian hot pot, with squash, sweet potato dumplings, and a mushroom dashi. There were so many components on this dish.
Collard green wrappers, so cool, so creative.
Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. We got the comment that one of the judges, I can't remember which one, will remember that squash for the rest of his life.
Wow.
Wow. I don't remember any
deathbed.
Squash.
Squash! You'd be like, Grandpa, what?
You'd be like, I promised I'd remember it for the rest of my life.
It's like the end of, what do you call it, Saving Private Ryan. Was I a good man? Did I earn it? I'm sorry. We're going like way too deep
the
cut on the movie.
Levels of cultural commentary that we get to on this podcast never cease to amaze me. How did we end up at Saving Private Ryan from a Top Chef?
That movie
podcast?
Made me cry. I didn't even watch the whole thing, just the ending, and the ending made me cry. I didn't
you know
even have
funny?
Like any relationship to the characters.
I'm going to be vulnerable here for a moment. I've only ever seen like the first 15 minutes of Saving Private Ryan.
I've only seen the last 15 minutes, and that's what
so
made me
cry. So together
we've
seen 30 minutes of the movie.
So together we're not quite sure how it goes,
we're not
but
quite
we're
authorities. You know on this movie we've just quoted.
It's based on a little world event you may have heard of.
D-Day?
Ever been? I actually have. Multiple times, which is my fun fact. I've literally been to Normandy 4 times.
Can I get an amen for Normandy?
Amen. Actually, though, in all seriousness, Normandy is incredible. Just beautiful.
Bits is being paid by the Normandy Tourism Department.
No, I went there in high school and played my violin as part of like a roving troupe. And it was honestly, I'm laughing, but it was like one of the most moving moments of my life.
My parents actually just went to Normandy a few months ago and said it was incredible.
So, well, talk to me when you've been 3 more times.
This episode is furnished by Normandy. Go visit it.
Go
learn
visit
some
it.
History, you fool. Okay, next. Back to Top Chef. Okay, next up we have Spring, which is Tristan and Vinny. Tristan made cabbage roasted and charred with new potatoes with fish, butter sauce, and trout roe.
Which he learned when he was in Sweden, of course.
Of course he staged in Sweden.
Yo, that cabbage looks so good, though.
Yeah, I loved the concept of this dish. And what was funny was, so essentially, I think that each individual component was not seasoned properly. Some were over-seasoned, some were under-seasoned. And they, you know, critiqued him for that. But his defense, he was like, I ate it all together. It was perfect. So I guess eat the dish together, judges, and stop
yeah,
giving Tristan a hard time.
The whole thing. This is what Tom always says, though. He's like, you can't. You have to salt every element.
You're right. The voice of Tom is with us.
The voice.
Are you there, Tom? It's me, Margaret. Another piece of culture.
I mean, it did look. It looked. That's the thing. Honestly, this is why I would pick Spring, because it's so bright. It's so. Mm-hmm. Fresh, like even more so than summer in some ways.
Shots fired
Vinny,
at summer.
Hey, watch out, summer. Okay, Vinny ended up with a – he kind of – talk to me about Vinny's dish because there was a lot happening. There was a rich consomme.
He made essentially lamb tortellini in a lamb broth. I was really – and there were shucked peas in there. I was really surprised that this is where he went with spring flavors.
But to your point, he kind of went like a shoulder, like a transitional. It is surprising. It is. I the mushroom maybe was surprising. The pot, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
To me, I think that Kristen made a really good point at Judge's table where she was like, it feels like Vinny always just like makes the dish he's going to make and then backfills the narrative into it. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is a good example of that. And that like, not an overtly spring dish, but he somehow fit the narrative into it.
Yeah.
Yes. I live in California and spring's a little different. It felt like he wanted to make whatever dish he was going to make. Which we've seen a few times this season.
Yeah.
We're looking at you, Karma Sutra Hollandaise.
Like the book.
Next up, we have Summer. Cesar made a corn gazpacho, smoked tomatoes with pistachio cream and poached lobster. I thought this sounded so good.
Tasty.
Thank you for that expert
opinion.
That's
all I gotta
say. We do have a podcast where people come to hear our opinions. Would you like to add anything other than tasty?
I love corn gazpacho, so I'm glad he did it.
Mm-hmm.
The smoker was very it's like a huge
desperate to know what's going to come out of your mouth.
I don't have anything much to say here.
Okay,
like,
fine,
I think,
fine. I didn't mean to put you on the spot.
The tomato was smoked. The lobster, I wish he hadn't shortchanged them on the lobster. Because I agree, when you get a little lobster, like, what's it all been for? You told me lobster.
Yeah.
But this filling the tomatoes with pistachio was super interesting.
Yeah, that was
not something I can, like, wrap my head around, though.
You took the words right out of my mouth. Can't really figure out what that's like. But I just... when I think of Summer, I think of corn and tomatoes. So I was just excited to see him celebrate these vegetables in this way. But unfortunately for him, seems like the dish didn't totally land. The sweetness of the corn was not there.
Which is crazy because he thought this – he was like, I don't know. He stated this. I honestly think that's the – Summer's the hardest in that it's sort of the easiest. There's too many directions to take it. It might be too hard to edit. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's not what happened here. That wasn't the note he got. I that would be my personal problem with Summer.
I think that's a very good point. So let's round it out with fall. Autumn. Autumnal is my favorite word in the English language, in case you're ever wondering.
Autumnal.
It's just a beautiful word. So here we have fall. Lana made a butternut squash spetzel with kielbasa and sauerkraut. Bailey made a squash agrodolce. This is our second agrodolce from Bailey, for those who remember her Last Chance Kitchen performance. And it's the dish that got her back into the competition. But they were really torn on Bailey's dish. What did you think about the Tom-Kristen dichotomy?
I genuinely like when the judges disagree because I think there's something that, to me, when you like a dish that others don't like, that there's something that just is so, it just, I'm trying to put this in a way that doesn't sound super stupid and obvious, but it just is a great reminder that food is subjective and taste is subjective in fun ways, and it can show up in interesting ways. And, it's interesting because it seemed like what failed to work for Vinny was successful for Bailey, and that she had this kind of like punch of the agrodolce.
Yes, you got it.
Agrodolce.
Right, got it right.
Sorry. Long day. And, you know, we had the same kind of commentary for Vinny on the consomme being too punchy and it kind of not working in his favor. And same with Punky. She was like, this is my favorite dish of the day.
Yeah.
So
I was amazed to see that with – it didn't feel like the judges were divided. Like, I didn't feel as though Kristen actively disliked this dish.
Yeah.
But it did feel like Kristen did not feel as though this was a winning dish. And so I was surprised mm-hmm. that with such a obvious level of disagreement between the judges that Bailey ended up on top. Not that it wasn't a good dish
right.
or that she wasn't deserving of praise. Like, I don't think she should have been sent home for this dish. But it was just surprising to see her in the top three for this dish.
I agree. When there seemed I feel to be like disagreement. That kind of happens more this season than historically. Hmm. I feel like I don't have any data to point to, but I feel like I've gotten the vibe where what I'm hearing at judges – at table side does not necessarily always one-to-one match what ultimately happens at judges' table, which I think is like totally – I think it's fine. It also – it's nice to not know in the moment exactly who's going to be landing where. But I agree. I was surprised by that. And, mm-hmm. You know, even Gail was like, it's like a dish I haven't seen before. So I don't know. It's interesting. I wonder how much – we don't really talk about – the sort of time to the time it takes for a judge to form an opinion on a dish. Is it happening in the first bite? Is it happening, you know, do they have a few minutes to gather their thoughts? It feels like it's a fairly like instantaneous mm-hmm. reaction. In some mm-hmm. instances they'll say, oh, I got a bite of this time. But I don't know. It's sometimes you just got to sit with like a plate of food for a little bit longer until yeah. you realize what you think.
I think it also speaks to the performance of the other chefs.
Yeah.
Like, I am interested as to what was so missing or so wrong with the other chefs' dishes that Bailey's ended up in the top three. Again, mm-hmm. not that it was mm-hmm. a bad dish. It just was surprising to see such a divide and then have her be in the top. But then
yes, agree.
Let's quickly just cover off on Lana's dish and then we can talk about judges' table. So Lana's spetzel, I think there was a general critique of the spetzel itself, but I think the flavors were good. I think that they enjoyed the flavors and the balance in the flavors, but the technical execution of the spetzel was perhaps not the best.
Yeah. I enjoyed watching spetzel get made.
I know where she was scraping it over yeah. that thing.
Yeah, super interesting.
Well, speaking of Lana, last week I mentioned that we need a counter for the number of times that the word cute is mentioned because it seems to be getting mentioned a lot. Would you like to guess the number of times the word cute was uttered in this episode?
5.
10.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. All within the last 20 minutes of the episode.
Oh, wow. I guess that makes sense because you don't have food in the first part of it.
Well, you do have a quick
fire
challenge.
Well, you do have a little bit of food.
Famously, you got food the whole time.
Yeah, that's true. That's what we're here for. But this dish definitely smacked of fall. And for
yes.
that,
yes.
we honor it.
And for that, we honor it. So let's talk about judges' table. We have Massimo, Schwei, and Bailey on top with Schwei taking home the win.
Yay! This Yay! Was great, especially after the very sweet note from his wife at the beginning.
Yes.
Oh, it was just like fun to see him
yep.
stick the landing all ep.
Yeah, and I think that his dish, more than anyone's, was really creative. Like I know we normally mm-hmm. give Cesar his props for being creative and Tristan, but it just felt like Schwei elevated and innovated on a dish that he, in his own words, said he grew up eating, like since the time he was able to ingest
yeah.
solid foods has been eating. And I think it was just a perfect example of a Top Chef caliber dish.
Ugh, love that. Yes, I completely agree.
Unfortunately on the yeah. bottom this episode. Oh, do you have anything that you want to share about?
No, let's talk bottom.
Top. So on the bottom, we have Tristan, Lana, Vinny, and Cesar. Now, ironically, Tristan, Lana, and Vinny were on the bottom of the quickfire as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we immediately get, or Cesar immediately gets told, you're safe. But Tristan, Lana, and Vinny all have this equal performance in the quickfire. So they will be judged on their elimination dishes. What do you feel about the judge's decision to send Vinny home?
It's a bummer. I think just based on everything that happened this episode, it was the right decision. The thing that really sealed it for me was Gail's comment on Lana's dish, which was of the three, I'd happily eat Lana's again. And I think that was like the shared sentiment of the folks at Judge's table. So it isn't. That seems to be this sort of like unspoken line that sometimes gets drawn where we're getting really into the minutia of like this tiny thing that, but like take a step back and be like, whose dish would you actually eat again? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you want to eat here? So with that, then, you know, it comes down to Tristan and Vinny. And I just think that the slip ups were too great on Vinny's side this time around. But Tristan was, I mean, it was, I don't know, seemed pretty close.
Yeah, I completely agree with that sentiment. I think also Vinny, I know that it's not cumulative throughout the season, but I think Tom made the point, like, I still don't know who you are through your food.
Yeah.
And I think that at this point, they have a really strong sense of who Tristan is. I think they have a pretty strong sense of who most of these people are, but Vinny never really sees the opportunity to put his stamp on a dish. And I think this one was sort of the last straw on that.
It's interesting because I feel like Vinny, something that I do think comes across in his food is it is, you know, it's not the same type of, whimsy is not the right word. Like there's a playfulness to the way Cesar cooks, for example. I do think there's like a playfulness and a cheekiness to Vinny's approach as well.
I mean, he came out of the gate with Apple Bowl.
Apple Bowl.
If that's not cheeky, I don't know what is.
Yeah. So I think, I don't know. I agree with, I get it. I get where Tom is coming from with that. But I do think that, and maybe it's hard to separate the man from the plate, but I do think that some of that, for me at least, came through in what he produced.
I think that Vinny right now is in a point in his career where he's racking up really good credentials. I know everyone gave him a lot of like grief about how many times he referenced the Nomad earlier this season, but like he is in a part of his career where he's trying to work at the best restaurants possible, and having that type of pedigree is really important. And I think that Tom's critique is really well taken. Like, we don't know who you are yet, because he's still at this point where he's like, you know, talented by association to all these restaurants. And I think that give him a few years, he's going to develop a voice and a point of view and go out into like the culinary world on his own. And he will return to Top Chef in an all-star season a totally different man.
I can't wait for half of this cast to be in All-Stars.
This is such an All-Stars heavy cast.
Yeah.
Already.
Just invite everybody back next year. And that's
Let's
fine.
Run it back on season 22 in season 23.
Destination season 22 part 2.
Mexico. So anyway, that brings us to our segment. Bits, Vinny's lamb dumplings and lamb consomme. Would you eat that?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would too, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, but I need the radish. Not eating it without the radish.
I am not eating it. They were really uptight.
You got
about
a radish?
That radish?
I'm like, dude, that radish was like the size of a dime.
It was a literal garnish.
Yeah.
Like, talk to me when you're missing the tortellini.
Y'all gagging over the garnish.
Ooh. I realize that my phone is across the room, so I don't really know how I'm going to time you. Oh, Bits is going to be our timer.
Yeah.
Do you want to go first? Or do you want me to go first?
You go first, Nancy. Nancy, your judgy table starts now.
If you're going to have a greenhouse challenge, get me to the fucking greenhouse. How dare they make them stay in the Top Chef kitchen the entire time? Why did they not bring us to the greenhouse? There has to have been something going on with production that we did not actually see a greenhouse in any of this, because there is this like one still photo of a greenhouse in a very nondescript looking urban location. And we're supposed to believe that that's like where all this food came from. Take us there. Show us the irrigation. Show us the technology. Show us the food you're growing. Like, why did we not go to the greenhouse? Why were we stuck in the Top Chef kitchen soundstage the whole episode? Something was up, but I'm okay with it because it was a fun episode at the end of the day. But take us to the greenhouse. I want to see a greenhouse. I don't think we've ever been to one on Top Chef. Gosh, take me on a field trip. Mm-hmm. The end.
Oh. Nancy, I'm not going to reply because I need to immediately do my judgy table.
Bits, your judgy table starts now.
Because it is the same, but for the four seasons.
Oh!
If we are doing a nature adjacent challenge or a challenge that is, let's respect like the state of nature at a given time of year, put me in nature.
Yes.
Why are we talking about the seasons and seasonality in these four walls? And I get it. It can only be one season outside at once, but put me in that season anyways. I don't know. I just, this was a challenge that should have been out of doors, full stop, mm-hmm. to your point, completely agree. And I don't have much more to say on that. I think,
you know what I'll say to that? You know what I'll say to that? Can I get an amen?
Amen. Say amen to that.
Amen to that, Bits. And amen to this great episode of Top Chef season 22.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Well, with that, we come to the end of our episode.
Somehow.
We made
it. This was a wild one.
We went far and wide, but we always come back at the end to say we'll see you next time on Compliments to the Chef. Bye.
Bye-bye.